It went into 1 Samuel chapter 8. We get into the life of King Saul. And for those of you who are in the auditorium Sunday school class, we are studying the life of who? King Saul. So we are skipping King Saul. The beginning of the year, we did a brief one or two night overview on David on Wednesday evenings, which kind of pushed us off into this study of fruitfulness. So we're skipping David's life. There's quite a bit on Solomon as well. So much important truth that really that God has taught Solomon, some that he rejected, but that we can grasp. But we are going to skip Solomon as well. We are not going to make it all the way through the Bible in this year of character studies and being fruitful. But I did want to get into Solomon's son. Does anybody remember the son that became king after him? What is his name? Solomon's son. There's two men in the Bible that they have a very similar sounding name, and they were peers. No, not David, not Absalom. The one who was not his son is Jeroboam. His son is Rehoboam. They were peers about the same time, and you can really see some of the sad reality. Jeroboam became leader of the tribes that split off. And yet Rehoboam still was king. Interesting to see those different things. But as we look at Rehoboam tonight and look at his life and learn how we can be a fruitful leader. Rehoboam was not a fruitful leader. How many of you are a leader? At least to someone. Right? I mean, somebody looks up to you. Someone, whether it's a son or a grandson or a daughter or a friend or, I mean, maybe it's at work. We all have leadership roles of some sort. Yes. If your dog follows you. If your dog doesn't obey you, then you ain't no leader to your dog. Okay. And no, that's coming from a guy who's never trained a dog or owned one to say that my dog would obey. So I am a perfect dog owner. My dog will obey everything I say. And sadly, I'll probably get a dog someday and you'll see otherwise. But as we think about being a leader, God wants us to be fruitful in every role of leadership that we have. And you know how we need to do that? We ask God for wisdom. It's incredible to watch what happened when Solomon became king. Solomon followed who? David. So he followed David, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, actually verse 9, God says, "What do you want?" And Solomon says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this, thy people? This is so great." And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor." And God just blesses him insurmountably. Solomon's first act of duty, if you will, or request was what? Give me wisdom, God. We come to Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. So turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, if you will. And we see what Rehoboam's first tasks was that he did. Solomon asked for wisdom. Rehoboam asked for advice as well. But he used his own wisdom. And he rejected the counsel that was given to him. In 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, it says, "Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam," here's Jeroboam, "the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying," Jeroboam was out of the country. Seems like every time someone leaves the country, they'd go to Egypt. We look at that at least early on in the Bible history. They'd often go to Egypt. And incredible to see the truth of that even in Jesus Christ's life. And so here Jeroboam runs to Egypt for safety. He comes back because Solomon is dead. Now, did Solomon always choose to live according to the wisdom he asked God for? No, he learned that everything is vanity, not because he believed God, but because he experienced it. And aren't you thankful we don't have to experience all of that? So much that we could get into. Again, this study is just a springboard for you as you go through the rest of this week. How can I be fruitful as a leader? Verse number 4, "They came to him," Rehoboam, "and they said, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them," look what he says. As a good leader, what does he say? Let me think about it. He doesn't just start running his mouth. Some leaders just run their mouth, right? And they'll hear what you say and they don't really listen. Well, tonight, the overarching truth that I want us to grasp, if you and I are going to be a fruitful leader, is we must be good listeners. We must be good listeners. So many truths. Man, this lesson, there's so much that I have here that we could good. Good listening requires patience. Good listening is an act of love. Good listening asks perceptive questions to try to pick their heart instead of just some knowledge. So many things going along with that. Good listening is ministry. Sometimes someone just needs to share. And it's off their heart, and it's like, well, that just solved it. Thanks. That helped me work through it. I was asking Karen a question the other night, just a practical question on one of our house projects. Honey, what do you think of this? And I'm talking through it. And a couple minutes later, I said, thank you. She said, well, I didn't really tell you what to do. I said, no, but you helped me think through it. And so what a ministry that is sometimes, just listening to people. Good listening prepares us to speak well, not just to run our minds and our mouths, but it prepares us to speak well. Not to put our foot in our mouth. Good listening reflects our relationship with God. So many different things. So who does Rehoboam need to listen to? First, he listens to the people. He listens to their concerns. They say, we have problems because your father was harsh. He was a hard leader. Will you be light? Will you lower our burden? Will you give us some rest, reprieve? He listens to the concerns. And if you and I are going to be good leaders, we need to listen to the concerns, whether they're legitimate or not. Sometimes, Pastor Bob, were there people who ever came over years of ministry, whether in Wisconsin or here or wherever, are there people who ever come who have illegitimate concerns and maybe they, once they see the truth, they realize it's not a problem? Right. But in order to get to that point, we've got to listen to them. And we've got to see, okay, I'll listen to you. Yep, okay, I see what you're saying. Sometimes it's just a wrong perceptive. They just perceived the whole situation wrong, and they just needed to see the truth. Well, here, Rehoboam listens to the people. He listens to the concerns that they have. So, Jimmy, when your dog comes to you and says, stop beating me, or whatever you're doing to it, listen to him. And we need to listen to the concerns that are brought to us and brought to our attention. Man, even our kids. One of my daughters was just struggling emotionally the other day, and I said, okay, so what did I do? Nothing, Dad, nothing. I said, I want to change. I want to help you. And the only way I can do that is if you'll share with me what I did so that I can try not to do that again. And finally, we were able to draw that out and again, show that love that, hey, just it's okay, share it with me. And man, I was challenged. I want to work on that. We've got to listen. If we're going to be a good leader, we need to listen to the people under us. Listen to their concerns. Even if they hit close to home, who did these people's concerns deal with? His own daddy. You talking bad about my dad? No, he listened to the concerns. Sometimes that's kind of awkward to sit quietly, isn't it? But that's what it takes sometimes to listen. Even when we don't want to hear what they have to say, am I willing to listen to their concerns? And then listen to their requests. They're saying, hey, would you help us? Would you just lighten our burden some? So Rehoboam could have been a godly individual. He could have had a fruitful ministry, if you will. But he wasn't fruitful because he listened to the people, but he didn't really care. He heard what they had to say and, man, he didn't think about them. So when we listen to people, we listen to their concerns, we listen to their requests, and we listen so that we can speak. He goes to speak later. In fact, in verse number 5, he says, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me, and the people departed. So he listened so he could speak. So number one, again, just a springboard, you go study this. Listen to people. Number two, listen to counselors. If I'm going to be a good, godly leader, I need to listen to counselors. There are all sorts of counselors in life. In verses 5 through 11, we really see that Rehoboam goes to counselors. He goes to the older men who were his father's counselors. By the way, these older men gave him good counsel, and he rejected it. Sometimes as young people, we struggle going to older people for advice. Kids struggle going to their parents. I don't want to talk to them. I remember being a teenager. Sometimes we struggle going to those older, wiser people. Well, here they knew what they were saying. They said, lighten their load and they'll serve you. And he's like, well, I don't know. I don't really like your idea. I'm going to go to my friends. Is it important to get counsel even from good friends, our same age? Yes, we see that even in the Bible. There's the wisdom of those who are older. I am so thankful for Pastor Bob. I have called him on countless times, and I'm just so thankful for the counsel that he's given me. We need that. But then I've got peers as well. And man, I'm just so thankful for my friends. Okay, so what do you think about this as we're going through this, or as I'm dealing with this, or man, my family, and as I'm raising kids? Man, we need that from our peers. But he needed to evaluate the counsel that he received. Listen to older, wiser men. Listen to younger men and determine if what they're saying is biblical. Listen to our peers. But we always judge it according to what? The Word of God, or I'll never be a good leader. Man, that sounds good. In fact, they're using flattery. It's incredible to think, to listen to some of this. Verses 10 and 11. Maybe you've read this before and you're like, well, what does that mean? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. What his friends are telling him is, you are a tough man. Tell him you're going to be tougher than your daddy was. And that you're stronger. In fact, one of the commentaries put it this way. Basically, the sense is, my hand shall be heavier than my father's, my force greater than his, my weakness even stronger than his strength. And his friends are, man, you got it all, Rehoboam. You are the man. You are it. But he had to judge it according to the Word of God. And he didn't. But the flattery went over and he said, that sounds good. Yeah, that's me. I am one tough cookie. But the reality is he didn't listen to the counsel from God's word. So we do need to listen to people. We do need to listen to counselors. And again, as we listen to these older, wiser men, as we listen to peers, we listen so we can speak. That's what they're saying. Hey, these are what you need to speak to the people. So a good listener always listens, because there's a point where we have to speak well. And then thirdly, as we listen to the people and we listen to our counselors, we never must leave this last one. We listen to God. Now, we know Rehoboam went and he did his own thing. And boy, there were consequences. But if you continue reading through this passage, and I sure encourage you to, it's pretty incredible to see what he's about to do in attacking his own people with all of the men he gathers together. And yet, he goes on to do this. Go down to verse number 22. Actually, verse 21, we better start there. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. Now listen to these numbers. 144,000 chosen men. Okay, so how many is in a score again? Not 10, 20. So 20 is in a score. So if we have 40, we have 180, how many? 1,000. That's a couple. He takes this many men to go and attack these other people because they aren't following me. I told them I'm going to be stronger than my daddy, and they're going to see it. But look what he finally does in verse number 22. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. He finally does something good. He listens to God. Well, we should listen to the people and listen to wise counselors, and the whole time be listening to God through his word instead of waiting till we just about mess up our lives. But let's listen to God. He finally does. He listens to God's messenger, Shemaiah. But you know what the end of verse 24 said that he listened to? What does it say that he listened to? The word of the Lord. He acknowledged that the messenger from God was delivering God's word. And as you listen to God speak. Why? So you can obey. If you and I are going to be good leaders, it takes being a good listener. Listen to people. Listen to God, the counsel. Listen to God, so we can speak well to people, so we can ultimately obey the Lord. Father, we thank you for your love. Pray that you would help us to be fruitful in this area of being godly leaders this week. Help us to listen. Sometimes that is so tough to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man Camp. If you wanted to turn in an early bird registration yet tonight, I will email that out.